As we turn to the preaching of God's Word, I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 137. Psalm 137, if you're using your pew Bible, you can find this on page 661. Again, this is Psalm 137. This is the living word of God. Let us hear. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung our lyres, for there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they said, lay it bare, down to its foundations. O daughter of Jerusalem, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall he be who repays you with what you have done to us. Blessed shall be he who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and also the preaching of his word. One of the ways that you might be able to summarize scripture is called the tale of two seeds. You have the seed of the serpent, the seed of the woman, and you have that outworking throughout redemptive history. You could also call it the tale of two cities, where you have Babel, which is the same name as Babylon, and Jerusalem, Zion. And you see that one being the city of God, the other being summary of the world, its power, its opposition to the living God. You know, Babylon represents from Genesis to what we have in the Psalms and in the exile to the book of Revelation when Babylon is referenced again, that power that is bent on the destruction of God's people and fighting against God. And seeking to overthrow him. This city that's the world and its power seeking to overthrow God in his dwelling place. And so here we have Psalm 137. It's vastly different than Psalm 136. And it's Psalm 136's overwhelming praise and glory and the almost a trumpet blast effect of the steadfast love of God enduring forever and the victories and the triumphs that are repeated over and over again. And then we are just hit in the face with this, we're in the waters of Babylon, or we're by the waters of Babylon, and we are weeping. We remember Zion. We remember Jerusalem. We've hung up our lyres. We've hung up our lyres. It's a stark contrast, but yet it is a psalm that calls us to sing God's praises. It's a psalm that calls us to remember the great workings of God, to remember his victories ultimately. And so we come tonight to examine this psalm, Psalm 137. It's a psalm that longs for home. The psalm of a people that are away from home, that are in exile, and they are longing to be home. And so we are called, as we long for our home, as we long for heaven, to sing the Lord's song. That's what the psalm calls us to do. As we long for our home, to sing the songs of Zion, the songs of the Lord. And we'll be looking at this psalm in 2 points. First of all, verses 1 to 6, and then verses 7 to 9. And the first point, sing the Lord's songs as you grieve for your home. Again, this is a psalm in exile. These psalmists are in the midst of exile and are longing for Jerusalem, are longing for Zion. But as we, on the surface, that's a very clear reason why there is sadness and why they are weeping, why they have hung up their lyres. But is there more to it than that? You know, why is there such deep sadness? Why is there such weeping? Why have their lyres been hung on the willows? Well, consider what Jerusalem means, what Zion means. It's the center of worship. It's the center of worship where God's people were commanded, the only place that they were commanded to come and offer sacrifices to the Lord their God. The only place they were commanded to come and offer those sacrifices in humble submission and worshiping the Lord their God. So we see that this sadness and this weeping is related directly to the worship that God had instructed His people to partake in and to give Him. It's been shut down. The temple has been destroyed. There's no place for the people of God to go to worship. And so the psalmist here is weeping, is in deep sadness, because the only place that they were called to physically worship God on earth is no more. It has been done away with. And so they've hung up their harps, their lyres. But we also see that in the midst of this suffering, the pain that they are enduring at the hand of their captors, we see that their tormentors mirth, as it says here in the ESV, or we could translate that as their tormentors enjoy. It's the picture of a victorious nation that is ridiculing those that they have just conquered. They are mocking them. They're calling them, sing for us one of the songs of Zion. Sing one of these songs to us. Now, these songs of Zion, these songs of the Lord that they are also called, directly tied to the worship of God. Isn't it a way that these tormentors are mocking them, saying, your God wasn't powerful enough to save you? Go ahead and sing. Sing to your God as you sit here in exile, a conquered and defeated people. They're taunting them that your God could not save you. This just adds to their grief. It adds to their sadness. It adds to their weeping. And so they ask in verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? First of all, I want to point out that, again, they're saying, how should we sing the Lord's song? These are not songs merely about the Lord. These are the Lord's songs. These are the songs of Zion. These are the psalms that are given to us. Not simply man-made compositions, but they are the songs of Zion. They are the songs of the Lord. They are the book of Psalms. And so they're asking, we are in this exile. We're in this foreign land. How can we sing these songs? How can we sing them? Well, really, I think verses 5 and 6 answer the question, because what are the Psalms when you think about the Psalms? There are some that are songs of war. There's some that are songs of rejoicing. There's some that are songs of lamenting, as this one can be seen as a psalm of lamentation. There's songs of victory, where you sing of the great triumph of our God and our King over His enemies. But ultimately, what they are is they're songs of remembrance. They're songs of remembrance. They're songs that we sing, that we recount the great and mighty works and wonders that our God has done. They're songs that we sing to remember what He has done for us, the love that He has shown us, the justice that He has, the wrath that He has towards sin, the joy and the pleasure and delight that He takes in His people. We sing these songs to remember these things. And these songs are used by the Holy Spirit to stoke the fires of our heart towards that heavenly city that we long for. that they come out of. These are songs of the Lord, songs of Zion. They are written by the Holy Spirit. They are heavenly songs, and as we sing them, our hearts burn for our home. And that is what the psalmist is going through as they are in exile in Babylon, by the waters of Babylon, being ridiculed by their captors, being ridiculed by their tormentors. They ask, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And then they bring to mind this act of remembrance that these songs have by saying, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. The language there is language of those that are singing. Those that are singing. Let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I forget Jerusalem, if I forget Zion. Here the psalmist says, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. And when we think about setting Jerusalem above our highest joy, it's a reminder, a call for us to set our heavenly home above anything that this earth has to offer. The psalmist here is writing out of a deep despair in the midst of exile, where everything earthly has been stripped from them. But they are focusing their eyes upon the dwelling place of God and setting that as their chief joy. How do we remember? Remember, one of the ways we remember is by singing the songs that God has given. Singing these songs that God has given to us to praise Him, to glory in His victory, to share kind of the deepest, rawest human emotion. These songs call us to remember the dwelling place of our God and our heavenly home. So, brothers and sisters, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? I'd say the answer to that is we must sing the Lord's songs in a foreign land. It keeps us spiritually sane. It keeps our eyes focused upon our true heavenly home. All that we see before us will pass away, but our heavenly home endures forever. And so, as singing the Lord's songs remind us of what God has done and who He is, let us sing them, even in the midst of sorrow. This brings us to our second point, verses 7 to 9. Sing the Lord's songs as you expect God's vindication. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Obadiah. It's one of those small minor prophets towards the end of the Old Testament. So if you're turning quickly, you may fly right by it. It's only one chapter long. But in Obadiah, verse 8, back in Psalm 137, the psalmist calls upon God to remember Edom and what they did in the day of Jerusalem as God's judgment came upon Jerusalem. Well, Obadiah is God's word to Edom for what they did when Jerusalem fell. And so we read in Obadiah verses 8 and following, the Lord saying, will I not on that day, declares the Lord, destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of Mount Esau? And your mighty men shall be dismayed, O Teman, so that every man from Mount Esau will be cut off by slaughter. Because of the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. On the day that you stood aloof, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. But do not gloat over the day of your brother and the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their ruin. Do not boast in the day of distress. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Do not gloat over his disaster in the day of his calamity. Do not loot his wealth in the day of his calamity. Do not stand at the crossroads to cut off his fugitives, but hand over his survivors in the day of distress. So going back to Psalm 137, the psalmist, sitting in exile in Babylon, first doesn't mention Babylon, but calls God to remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they said, lay it bare, down to its foundations. Now, Edom didn't carry Israel off or Judah off to exile. But we read in Obadiah is basically Edom stood on the sidelines cheering. They rejoiced, crying out as the Babylonians carried them off, lay it bare, tear it down. And then Obadiah kind of gives us glimpses after the fact. They maybe went in and looted some stuff. They rejoiced in the destruction of their kindred. They rejoiced in the destruction of their brother. And they did nothing to help them. They did not come to their aid, but they rejoiced and mocked them. And so God, through the prophet Obadiah, and as the psalmist here calls out, remembers against the Edomites the day of Jerusalem, how they said, lay it bare, lay it bare. But then we also see in verse 8 and 9, I would say arguably some of the two of the most difficult verses in Scripture for the picture that they give. You know, daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall be he who repays you for what you have done to us. Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock. I mean, let's be blunt. I mean, that's a picture of taking children and bashing their heads in. And the psalmist here is calling upon the blessings of God to be upon the one that does that to Babylon. How does that fit in with our New Testament age? How does that fit in with the call to love your enemies, to pray for them, to not revile in return? Well, we have to consider that verse 9 is balanced by verse 8, first of all. Verse 9 is in light of verse 8, and in verse 8 it says, O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall he be who repays you with what you have done to us. So there is a balance there. What that shows us is that what is said in verse 9 was done to Israel at the hands of Babylon. Now that doesn't really give an excuse, but to give some historic context, let us consider 2 Kings chapter 8 verse 12. That in that passage, it is prophesied that Syria would do this to Israel, the northern tribes. We read in Nahum chapter 3 verse 10. Remember, Nahum is a prophet who got the job that Jonah wanted to prophesy against Nineveh. And in Nahum chapter 3 verse 10, it said that this would happen to Nineveh, that their little ones would be dashed upon the rocks. And then in Isaiah chapter 13, we have the prophecy that is the fulfillment of our request, or the blessing that is bestowed upon the one who would do such a thing to Babylon. We have the prophecy where that would happen to Babylon. Now, what we see from this, that in this day and age, back in Psalm 137, sadly, this was the practice of a conquering nation over a people it conquered. You know, consider 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 7. This is when Babylon takes King Zedekiah away. And what they do to King Zedekiah is they bring his sons before him, they slaughter his sons, and then gouge out King Zedekiah's eyes. So the last thing King Zedekiah saw was the slaughter of his sons. What this shows us is how conquering nations dealt cruelly with those that they conquered. It was a complete cutting off of a generation, of their progeny. It was a wiping out of a people. They destroyed their young generation. And what it pictures for us in a very clear, stark, brutal, graphic way is the utter destruction of an enemy. Now remember how I opened this sermon with how one of the ways that we could summarize Scripture would be to say it's a tale of two cities. It's the city of Babylon versus the city of Zion. And we have these two cities throughout the pages of Scripture that are warring against one another. And as Scripture unfolds, no matter how much Babylon tries to destroy and bring to ruin the city of God, in the final word, the city of God is completely and totally victorious. In Revelation 18, we have the complete and final fall of Babylon prophesied. And they are brought to ruin. So how can we sing psalms like Psalm 137? We can sing psalms like Psalm 137 because what this pictures is the truth that we can't ignore. Who are the children of Babylon? If Babylon is that city in Scripture that represents the world powers in opposition to God and His people, who are the children of Babylon? It's all those who are opposed to the Lord and His Christ. Those are the children of Babylon. And when we consider what Scripture teaches us, what will happen to the enemies of God? What is going to happen to the enemies of God? This psalm does not sugarcoat the truth. And we can't sugarcoat it either. Apart from Christ, all of His enemies will be thrown into hell forever. But the wonderful thing is that our God threw His own Son against the rocks so that we wouldn't have to. His own Son was crucified and laid down His life so that we, by His grace, through faith in Him, would be saved and would be redeemed. But let us not lose focus of the fact that all who are opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ is a child of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed. Brothers and sisters, what psalms like Psalm 137 do is they show us clearly the truth. They help us remember and not cover over and gloss over the destiny of those, as Peter said, that are doomed or destined to do so, disobeying the word of God. We sing these psalms to remember, brothers and sisters, the ultimate destiny of God's enemies. The ultimate destiny of God's enemies, and to pray for and to seek their salvation. That is how we can sing psalms like Psalm 137. And so as we bring this to a close, remember this is a psalm of those who are in exile longing for their home. Are we not in exile as well? Are we not in exile? Are we not, as Peter calls us, foreigners, sojourners in a foreign land? Let us, in the midst of our exile, sing the songs of the Lord, sing the songs of Zion, and remember the victories that God has won. Praise Him for His glory. Praise Him for His justice. Praise Him for His love. Lament over the raging, seeming victory of sin at times in the world. But let us remember our heavenly home and sing of it. And in so doing, let us remember that God's ultimate victory means that those who are opposed to Him will be cut off. They will be sent to the eternal damnation of hell. And if we do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, we will be in that group sent and dashed against the rocks. And so, brothers and sisters, as we long for our heavenly home, let us sing the Lord's songs and remember our God in what He has done for us. Amen. Our gracious Father, we thank You for Psalms like 137 and the way in which they help us and remind us to see clearly the spiritual warfare that we are in. We thank You, Lord, for Your work, and we thank You for Your faithfulness to work in us. And may we, Father, long for our home and not forget. May we sing these songs of Zion, these songs that You have given us, and remember our home. And may we, Father, remember the fate of those who oppose You. May we pray for their salvation, and may we seek, Lord, to bring them to faith in Christ. And may You so use us, Lord, and in bringing them to Jesus. In the name of our Lord, we do pray. Amen.